School of the Master. This is a seminar, a series of 45-minute talks on the School of the Master. What is a master? Practicing art and meditation types and digressing and all these beautiful concepts we'll be discussing in our School of the Master seminar this July-August 2012 here in Campo, California. Our first topic, School of the Master. 1. What is a master? Now, that's a question we all ask ourselves and we all would like to know about. What is a master? Well, a master is not a guru. A master is not a teacher. A master is not somebody who helps somebody else achieve their goals. A master is itself a master. And the master is a master for himself alone. A master does not be a master for others, to show others the way, to lift them up into their higher levels of consciousness, and to do all of those beautiful things that we think about a master. And a master is not one who has accomplished the great art of painting, the great art of writing, the great art of intellectualism. The master is not a person who is an outward expression. The master truly is the inward self. The School of the Master will direct our attention to our being ourself and enjoying it every minute. Now, a lot of times we think of these School of the Masters that the Europeans have and that the Hindus have and that the Indians have and people all the world have, and we think, oh my goodness, you know, they're very strict and they're very tough. Well, our first theme, Be Yourself and Have Fun, seems to take care of the whole picture all by itself. For when you stop and think of what is a master is a being who 100%, now that's tough, that's really tough, 100% likes themselves and is enjoying living their life. Now, you show me anybody on the face of the earth who likes himself and enjoys being alive, and I will pay you $1 million. Because there's nobody on the face of the earth who likes himself and is being themselves. Because if, and this is the big wonderful part, if you like yourself and you are being yourself, nobody knows it. Because if other people know it, they too are masters. Anytime you like yourself and you're being yourself, you are expressing the finest qualities of what a master is. Because a master has no responsibility to make this a better world. He has no responsibility to make life a better life for others or for himself. He has no responsibility to live in a beautiful body, to have a beautiful mind, to be surrounded by beautiful people. Because a master lives being himself and having fun. Now, how do you go about being yourself and having fun? That's a big question. So let's consider it. How do you go about being yourself and having fun? If you want to be yourself, what is the first thing you do? You recognize that you are number one and you're the only being in existence. There is not another being in existence in your world, because if there is any other being in existence in your world, then you're not in charge. The other people are going to think their thoughts and they're going to have their ideas and they're going to have their world. Did you ever look at a storm and you see a hurricane or tornado or a very bad rainstorm coming, a big, big rainstorm coming, and it's coming right down on top of you, and it's going to drop all of its moisture on top of you? And did you say, oh, with all the fright in your heart? and all the worry in your heart, say, oh dear, this is going to be terrible. And it is. You empowered it to be terrible, and it was terrible. Now, did you ever, in the fondest reaches of your imagination, have this awareness of a storm coming into your consciousness? Your people bring it to your attention, or you brought it to your attention, or somehow you did, and you said, no way. This is a beautiful day. Storm, play your game wherever you wish. But this is sacred ground here. This is my place. I'm being myself and having fun. And I have the most beautiful weather around me. I have the most beautiful, gentle breezes blowing around me. The temperature is always delightful. I live in an atmosphere, in an environment that I create by my every thought, by my every attitude. Now, did you ever do it? You did it, but you don't realize you did it. There were times you looked at a storm that was coming and you said, oh, who needs it? And then you will go about your work and you completely forget about the storm. You forget about it. Oh, it was there, definitely. It was coming. You could see it. But you forget about it. You turn your attention away from it to other things, to a most peaceful, relatively calm experience. And what happens? The storm disappears. The storm disappears. Many times storms appear in the sky and they disappear just like that. Many times hurricanes are supposed to come and hit Florida and wipe out part of the city, but it never comes. The people get excited about something else. The people turn their attention away from the storm and the storm forgets to come their direction because the storm was not getting their attention. The storm ignored them and went somewhere else, wherever it could get attention. And truly, this is what life is. Life is always looking for our attention, and if we want to give life our attention, life will give us whatever attention we want. Now, you say, well, I'd like to be a millionaire, you know. I'd like to have a healthy body. I'd like to have a harmonious family. I'd like to... No, you wouldn't. If you really would like that, if you would really like to be a weightlifter, you'd start lifting weights. And you're not lifting weights because you don't really want to be a weightlifter. You don't want a happy, harmonious family because you're not saying, I have a happy, harmonious family. Everyone in my family is fantastic. Praise, praise, praise what you can create in your family. I have a wonderful family. My children are just delightful. My husband, my wife, my family, my mother, my father, whoever is in my family. Wow, I got the greatest, the greatest, the greatest. Some people are like that, aren't they? Mm-hmm. And that's what they have. They have exactly what they put into their consciousness, what they as a master are creating in their world, because they will not allow in their world anything contrary to who they really are, to be themselves and have fun. Now, do you want to be yourself and have fun? Oh, sure, you say, yes, I want to do that. Well, then, why are you thinking about a problem at any time? Why are you empowering the problem to come into your life at any time? Take your attention away from it. It's that simple. Take your attention away from it, not onto health or not onto to some good thing, but onto something that takes your attention. Now, for instance, you're going to swim out in the swimming pool. And I say, I bet you can't swim all the way across the pool. So you're going to give your attention to swimming across the pool. You're going to get in there and you're going to swim across the pool. And you're not going to think the thought that I never swam across the pool before. I didn't know I could swim this far. You know, I didn't know I'm that good. You just swim it because your attention is on swimming across the pool. And you swim to the other side of the pool, and then you swim back again. You say, how did I do? And you went two legs, you know, and you didn't even dream. And then you didn't know you couldn't do it. People who say, I can't swim, all they're saying is, I don't want the responsibility. I don't want the responsibility for swimming. I don't want the responsibility for living a good life. I don't want the responsibility for being a happy person. I don't want the responsibility. And you see, whenever we say that, I don't want the responsibility for that storm up there. I'm not going to pay any attention to it. I'm going to turn my back on the storm, you know. And little by little, storm goes away. If you don't give the storm your responsibility, if you don't give the storm your attention, the storm is going to dissipate and go away. Really. Now, you say, oh, I wish. Yeah. You see, you wish. You don't just do it. Now, when a little child is obstreperous and gets in your hair and drives you mad, and you say, ay, you're just upset. But the minute you take that child, that's a storm. You take that child and you say, well, sweetheart, what do you think we could do today? Let's go to the zoo. Let's do this. Or hey, I have an idea. I am going to let you watch me while I clean your room. How about that? You just sit right on your bed or wherever you like and just watch me clean your room, and you pay attention because I want you to watch me see how much fun I have doing it. Mom, you're going to clean my room? Mom, you're going to bother with my room? Sure, I love doing it. I love being a mother. I didn't become a mother because I didn't want to become a mother. I became a mother because I wanted to. And having children is what mother is all about. Mother's not having a father. Mother's having children. And you are my child. Well, all right. And so the kid goes and watches you while you're cleaning up the room. Now, you got to do it with a happy heart. You got to do it by saying, I know what I'm doing. I know what I'm doing. I am making cleaning his room look like a happy task so that he will want to do it himself. And I make it look like a happy task because it is a happy task for me. And it's a happy task for me because once I have done this in honesty and integrity and all that good stuff, then he will take it too. And so you start cleaning his room. And you say, well, Jimmy, look here. Do you know what I found in the corner here? I found 6 pieces of dust. And I'm going to pick them up with my cloth. And they're not there anymore. And under your bed, I found some pieces of dust. And I'm picking them up. And a couple of shoes under there and a couple of socks under your bed and things like that. You know, no wonder you're not matching your pairs. I found them. They couldn't get away from me. They couldn't escape me. And silly things, the things that normally you'd find. And then you go, hey, look at this beautiful carpet on the floor in the closet. What a lovely carpet. There's about 5 or 6 shirts here and a pair of pants, and there's all sorts of underwear, and there's all sorts of dirty things there. What a lovely carpet. You know, Jimmy, would you like me to put a carpet in your closet? I'll do that. Oh, Mom, that's an interesting idea. That's an interesting idea. Then, you know, you don't have to use your clothes for the carpet, you know. Well, Mom, how do we do that? Well, I have a piece of carpet in the garage, and I had just taken it out of the house because I put in this, and it's be just about the right size for this. Run down and get it. So, no, I'll run down and get it. No, Mom, I'll do it. Okay, so he runs down and gets the carpet. And then she hollers out the window, Jimmy! And he says, yeah, bring the carpet cutter too. Oh, where is it? It's in the drawer on the right-hand side of the workbench there. Okay, see. And he brings the carpet cutter, and he brings it up, and you lay it in there, and it needs to be trimmed. And so you say, Jimmy, do you have a Mark Salat pencil or something? Yeah. And so he goes to his desk drawer and gets it. And she says, it's sure nice to know where everything is, isn't it? And planting little seeds as she's going along. And then she marks the carpet. And then they cut the carpet in just a moment or two. And the carpet is down in his closet. He's the only person in the entire house that has a carpet in his closet. Everyone else has just old hardwood floor down there, you know, not any carpet. And Jimmy, you're special. You have a carpet in your closet. And so she helps him clean the, she helps him, she does it. She cleans up the whole room. And it's not long before he sort of joins in. And he starts putting things away too, because he knows where he wants to put them. And he starts putting it away. And in a few minutes, pretty soon he's cleaning up the room. Then mother doesn't say a word. And a week later, of course, she's taken a look before, but a week later she goes in there and she says, Jimmy, it looks like a different house here. Does a different boy live here? No, loves me, and you're so clean and so nice and so orderly. Well, Mom, a good fairy came through here a couple weeks ago and showed me how easy it was and how much fun it was to keep my room clean. And you know, Mom, it is fun. It is fun. And Mom said, yes, Jimmy, you know, me doing the housework is fun too. If I ever get to thinking I don't like to do the housework and I'm not enjoying being a mommy, she says, then I'll probably move on to another dimension or something like that. And she says, and I don't plan to do that. I am too happy here with my wonderful family and my wonderful world. That's why I won't get cancer and I won't get these dumb things. I am going to keep a healthy body. Oh, Mom, well, don't you talk about that other stuff. No, but other people talk about it. And I have to let you know, I don't have it in my consciousness. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal consciousness. And what a teacher this mom is. What a sharer this mom is. But who is she doing it for? For herself. She is being the master of herself. She is being the teacher of herself. She's not trying to train her son. If she tries to train her son by doing this, it loses all the fun. What did you think when she said, you got a rug in your closet, and the rug is all your beautiful clothes? You thought, you know, you made this unmasterful-like gesture in your heart, because you thought to yourself, how could any child be so thoughtless and careless of the wonderful things that his parents give to him, you know? How could that ever be? Well, that's because the parents have that way. The parents don't give a child a piece of clothing and say, what would you like? What is your favorite? You know, oh, I know, this fits you so good. And when you hang it in the closet, it'll be just as beautiful when you bring it out the next day as you put it in. And, oh, you're so wonderful. And the mother is saying to herself, hang my clothes away. Take care of my own closet. A slip fell off of the hanger, and it's on the floor in my closet. It was there 3 days. I didn't pick it up because I really was just rush, rush, rush. And I thought, no, I'm never rush, rush, rush. I'm a master. Every moment, every instance of my life, everything is in order. I have time to take all the pots and pans out of the shelves in the kitchen and wash them down. And I don't have to put shelf liner there. I just wash the shelves down. If I think I should have shelf liner, I take everything out and I put a coat of beautiful white enamel in there. And I make it beautiful. And I make it so that it can be washed easily because I like everything orderly. And then I take everything and put it in its place in a perfect order, how I use it and how it is. And it's such fun. It's such a joy. And you see, this is a master consciousness, not objecting to life, but flowing harmoniously with what life is all about and with how life can be lived. Now, we all have that opportunity. We all have that opportunity to have a clean desk. We all have that opportunity to have an orderly house, an orderly body. But you see, we take care of our desk more readily than we do our mind. And if we can start working in our mind and say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, we will start living in our ideal spirit, mind, and body. And as a master can tell you, nobody knows what an ideal spirit, mind, and body is. But Mama doesn't know how nice Jimmy's room can be until she and Jimmy go over the room and put it in Jimmy's order so that he'll put it back there every time he uses his room and every time he enjoys his room. Now, can you do that with your life? Can you start being the master yourself? What does it mean to be the master? To be the master, every thought we think is a beautiful thought. Every thought we think is a positive thought. Every thought we think is a thought that says to us, I like me. Every thought we think is a thought that says, hey, oops, somebody's talking about colds. Somebody sneezed. I said, Gesundheit. And God bless you or good health to you. Well, why do we notice them sneezing? We notice them sneezing because we want to be superior to them. Really. We notice the storm cloud up there because we want to see something that's bothering us. We want to be controlled and manipulated by outside things. And then once we start saying all is in divine order, once we say that about the sneezing or the cold or the coughing, once we say it about anything, then we're in charge. But if we don't take charge, if we don't really every single moment say to ourselves, I'm perfect, I'm ideal. Now, I walked the meditation path. And as a master awareness, consciousness, I walked the meditation path. And I listen to my talks sometimes on the meditation path on my earphone, and or I listen to music or whatever, or nothing, just my meditation. And then the thought comes to me, I like me. And I think, well, now, why am I thinking I like me? Is it because I don't like me? No. I'm thinking I like me because I'm thinking I need to fill up my tank, my gas tank in my car, with I like me. And I fill it up, I like me, I like me, I like, and I got to pump it in there. Get a gallon after gallon after gallon in my tanks, you know. I'm saying, I like me, I like me, I like me. That's what Master does. I like me, 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 I like, until I got that tank full, until it goes cling, won't take anymore. And then I put the gas cap on, and I close the vent, and I go off on my merry way. But if I ever forget, and here's the good test, if I ever forget to say I like me, I will have bones that ache. I will have a head that makes. I will have problems that don't work out. I will have circumstances that are not happy. I will have a dog that I call sick or a dog that I call well. It all depends on me. Am I saying I like me enough? No. I like me, I like me, I like me. Every morning I give talks. And I give 10-minute, 30-minute talks. And I give them, and I put them on the internet. And as I conclude the talk, I say, I love you, I love you, I love you. I like you, I like you, I like you. And then I love me, I love me, I love me, and I like me, I like me, I like me. Now, why do I say I like me? Why do I say I love me? Am I saying I like me and I love me because I want to like me and I want to love me? Or am I filling up my gas tank? Am I restoking my furnace? Am I making sure that I have my attitude totally on I like me? Now, if I have my attitude on my like, I like me, do you think I'll have a pain in my leg, a pain in my neck? You think I'll have any lack of vision? Do you think I'll have that? No. I was sitting at my computer this morning working on the talks, and as I was doing so, I was writing down notes and looking at the computer and doing things on this here, and I'd forgotten to put my glasses on. And I was reading just as clear as possible without them, and I thought, whoops, I forgot to put my glasses on. And the minute I said I forgot to put my glasses on, I began to see, they were a little foggy. It was a little fuzzy. And I thought to myself, wow, what instantaneous response. How quick my mind responds to whatever my thought is about myself. And if I'm going to have thoughts about myself that I have trouble seeing, then my mind is going to instantly make it so that I have trouble seeing. Now, wouldn't it be smarter for me to say, I don't have trouble seeing. I see perfectly well. I see beautifully. I see fantastically. I see joyously. I see right now. You see, if you're going to be in the school of the Master, you're going to have your paper, your notebook, your computer pad, you might say, right in front of you. And you're not going to doodle on the paper pad. You're not going to doodle and say little houses and circles and stuff like that. You're going to say, I like me, I like me, I like me, if you're going to say anything at all. You're going to say, all is in divine order. Ooh, that sounds good too. I'm being myself and having fun. And my chest goes up, my chin goes up. I'm being not superior to anybody else, but being me. And being me is a nice guy. Being me is a fun guy. Being me is a fantastic guy. And that's what it's all about. I like me. I like me. I like me. No. To say something like that and do something like that means we have to put a big program in process for ourselves. Because up to now, we have allowed anything into our mind. We have allowed anything on television to come in and crash on us. We've allowed newspaper news information to crash on us. Now, all those things may be there. But what does a master do? A master sees only good. A master may look at a movie and the movie may have tragic and violent things to it. And the master instantly says, all is in divine order. He looks past those things. He looks past those things as an emotion that was uncontrolled. And he sees it now controlled. He sees it now in order. He sees it now doing its right thing. You see? And the minute he does that, then what happens? It's right. It's right in order. Now, are you ready to take responsibility for that? Are you ready to be right in order? Are you ready to do that which is for your highest and best? Well, if you are, then that means you have taken 99 9/10% of your thinking and thrown it out the window. And you've only retained in your thinking, I like me. I like me. All is in divine order. Now, wow. I like me. All is in divine order. Can you imagine only thinking that? Can you imagine what that would do? Can you imagine Jimmy saying, I don't like to clean my room. I don't like to clean my room. I don't like to clean my room. And so his mother, in a very loving way, showed him how much fun it could be. Now, you watched Mary Poppins, and you looked at Mary Poppins while she did her magic, and the drawers opened up and closed in the children's room, and the children helped put the clothes away. The children were messy and so forth. You watched that, and you thought, just because it was fun, they loved to put it away. Just because it was fun, they loved to help. Just because it was fun. Well, didn't anybody else ever get that message in that household? Didn't any of the nannies ever get that message, or any of the people who came to work in that family get that message? No. They all thought, these are crummy kids. They went by the appearances of the moment. And because they went by the appearances of the moment, that's what they lived with. And because that's what they lived with, that's what they had. Now, are you living with the appearances of the moment? Am I living with the appearances of the moment? Is that why I don't have all the things I'd like to have? Or do I have all the things I like to have? Do people look at my life and do they say, Herb, you got it up made. You got it made. Everything is going your way. You're fantastic. You're wonderful. Herb, you're the most outstanding, exciting man I've ever met in my life. Herb, you're so... But I got problems. I got this. I got... No, you don't. I don't think of you with problems. I don't think of you with anything left undone. Herb, you know what my problem is when I'm talking about you? Tell me, I didn't know it was a problem. My problem in talking about you is that I do everything now. I think in the now. There is no yesterday. There is no future. There is no time. There's no otherness than right now. And I look at you and I say, yeah, you're a great guy. You're a wonderful person. You're thoughtful. You're loving. You're kind. You're this, you're that, you're the other. And doom, 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 doom. There is then no other time. Now, if you can do that for me because you're so wonderful, why not do it for yourself because you're so wonderful? And if you could do this for yourself because you're so wonderful, oh, oh boy, how lovely that is. Just imagine, Ellen, just imagine all of you out there listening to our seminar today. Just imagine If any one of you were to say to your dog, come, would your dog instantly come? Or would your dog not? What attitude do you have in your mind about whether the dog should come or not? Whether you are the creator of your world, whether you're the master of your world. Are you the master of your world? Are you the creator? Did you create your dog in your world, or did you create your dog not in your world? Did you create your dog a healthy dog or not healthy? Did you create your dog a happy dog or not happy? Did you create your dog with all the joy in the world? Is your dog the most loving dog in the world? Yeah. Sometimes not. It all depends, you see. We live in a world that is so remarkable, so unique, but it's remarkable and unique only because of what we do with it. Now, what do you do with it? Do you love yourself? Do you think the world is great? Do you think the world is beautiful? Do you think that everybody in the world is a glorious being? Or do you think that some people aren't very nice? You haven't got the right to think some people are not nice. Because you got to draw that from somewhere inside of you, of your not niceness, to see another person not nice. So if you don't have any not niceness inside of you, you cannot see another person not nice. If you don't have any poverty in you, you cannot see poverty in anyone else. If you don't have sickness in you, you cannot see sickness in anyone else. Now, how do we live our life without poverty, sickness, and all those things? How do we do it? How do we do it? Well, we do it by thinking our thought. I am whole and perfect. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. This is a master talking. A master takes care of every area of his life. A master takes care of every area of his thought. Be yourself and have fun. That's our original premise. Be yourself and have fun. How can you be yourself and have fun if being yourself is not being a nice person? How can you be yourself if being yourself means that you have a body that is not nice? I was driving home from San Diego last night after taking Anita to the plane to fly to Switzerland. And as I was driving along, I was thinking to myself, yeah, how can we live in a happy body? How can we be happy people? How can we do the things we want to do? How can we do that? It's really something very, very difficult. How can we do something we want to do? Well, have I enough perspicacity? Do I have enough staying power to say to myself, I like me? Would I like to take me as a friend? Would I like to have me as a friend in my life? Am I a complainer? Am I a bitcher? Am I a person who looks at another person and say, I don't like you? Do I look at people and I say, hey, I don't want you in my world because you're not nice? Do I say that sometimes? If I say that, what am I saying? In me, they are. Now, I sometimes say things because I think I say it for the benefit of somebody else. When I see a person bothering another person, I say, now, let them alone. Let them alone. Let's go our way. No, they're mean, they're hateful, they owe me this, and they have to do this. You're only bothering yourself. You're only destroying yourself by being concerned about whether what they do is right or wrong. If they do what they do is right or wrong, and you make it part of your life, then for you, you're doing it. Now, go do what you want. Be how you want. If you want to be a dishonest person or an honest person, if you want to be a happy person or an unhappy person, that's okay. For me, I only am a happy person. And I am only an honest person. I'm a totally loving person, you know. So, people who come in my consciousness who do not want to be loving, who do not want to be happy, who do not want to be whole and healthy in every way, feel uncomfortable. And they pick on me. They want to say, well, Herb's got these faults, Herb's got these problems, Herb's not good, Herb's this, Herb's that. And the minute they do that, what they're doing is they're saying, they got these problems, they got these circumstances. And it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. Like one person, they had an argument or discussion with me, and after the discussion they went away and they said that, I had such a wonderful time, it was such a great discussion. And they were lying. Now, why were they lying? They were lying because they wanted to think that they could only have happy discussions. They could only have, and they didn't want to take responsibility for doing what they were doing. Now, hey, that's okay. I don't mind. I always tell people what's in my heart, and what's in my heart is good. I always tell people who I am, and who I am is good. And that's what we always want to do. That's what a master consciousness wants to do. That's how we train ourselves as a master consciousness, to do these things and to experience these things and have these things. And if we don't do that, then we're not living to our highest and best. Can anyone attend the School of the Masters? School of the Master, that is. Can anyone attend the School of the Master? All of us, every human being, everybody, all of our life, are attending the School of the Master. Every day of our life. Every day of our life in the School of the Master, it says, be yourself and have fun. Be yourself and have fun. Are you being yourself and having fun? If you think not, then you're not matriculating at the School of the Master. If you are being yourself and having fun, then you are in the School of the Master. Then you are doing what you know is for your highest and your best. Then you are being who you are, and that's what you want to be. But it's so easy to say we're doing one thing and not to do it. Of course, the only person we're kidding is ourselves. The only person we're being unhappy with is ourselves. Can you say, I like me? Can you really say, I like me? Can you say, I'm being myself and having fun? I'm doing this and doing that. But if ever there's any tension inside of you over what you're doing because somebody else should have been doing it, or it shouldn't have had to have been done in the first place, or someone did something that made it difficult for you, you come to the point, and this is the big point. So what? Mucknicks. Makes no difference at all. No difference at all. Let it be. Let it be. We had the carpet that we took out of here and we cut it up. And what size did it end up being? The exact size for the exact carpet for the dining room of the Oasis. Exactly. Clean, beautiful, wonderful. It's just corner to corner. Lovely. Now, did you plan it that way? Apparently you did. Were you successful? Apparently you were. And did it get moved over there nicely? Yes, it did. Did you almost lose it by giving it away before you realized that it would fit so beautifully there? We do things like that to ourselves. And if we look at anything and we say we don't like it, or we say we wished it was like it used to be, we're not happy because we're making a judgment. If we look at everything we look at and say, how beautiful, even if it might not be beautiful to everyone's eye, if we look at it and say how beautiful, then it is beautiful for us. Now, do you have the ability, do we have the ability to say to ourselves, all is good and very good. All is in divine order. What does divine order mean? It's good and very good. And yet we say, well, that's not good and very good. Then it's not in divine order. Is anything in your life not in divine order? Is anything in your world not in divine order? Is your garden always in divine order? Are your yard trimming all in divine order? Is your driveway always swept? Is your car always washed so lovely? Is everything, and you didn't drive dusty roads, you know? And hey, that's just another opportunity to wash it. And it's beautiful. It's beautiful. And I thought I'd have some washers, and I have them at my house, to bring them to your house to put on that gadget to wash the car just by reaching up the top and bottom. It's lovely. It's lovely. But you see, all of these things are because all is in divine order. All is in... Why do I have a photographic memory of things that I see? That I remember, I go through a store and I remember where the things are in the store, so the next time I go there, I know right to do it. I go in the garage and I do an inventory of the garage mentally just to see what's there. I don't really care. And stuff that I'm looking at, I have no interest in whatsoever. But a week or two later, I say, oh, yeah, you know, I can use a nut or a bolt. And I remember because all is in divine order. And how wonderful when we have our life all in divine order. How wonderful when we put our mind in order and not worry about how to use it. Not worry about what to do with it and where to do it. And if you're going to make a lunch and you don't have anything to make it with, go in the kitchen. You'll find more things to make lunch with than you ever dreamed possible because you didn't look in those corners because you hadn't recently looked in the back of the closet and found, well, what do you know, there's a can of beans. And there's all sorts of lovely things there, you know. And life is filled with beauty and harmony and goodness. It's filled with every good thing, but a master in the school of the master, to be yourself and have fun. He is being himself and having fun. She is being herself and having fun. And she is finding out what it means to be a master. To be a master is letting go and to find the divine in all. Letting go and finding that which is beautiful in all. Finding that which is worthwhile and joyous in all. Now, do we really want to do that? Do we really want to live our life like that? Or are we always being picky? Are we always saying, here's something else to do, here's something else to do? Could we be the perfect housekeeper and say, it's done? Could we be the perfect creator of our universe and say, all is in divine order? Could we be the ideal being in our world that said, I'm being myself and having fun? Could we? Yeah, we could. If we are, then the first things we let go of are judgment. The first things we let go of are feeling that we have to look at other people and see what they're doing. Did the mother enjoy cleaning her son's room? And did Jimmy enjoy having his mother do it? Do you enjoy cleaning your house and going picking up little things? When Ingeborg was doing her little thing, she was walking around here and she could hardly toddle without her cane and she was picking up sticks and having a ball. Now, we couldn't see much balance or sense in that, but she had balance and sense in that because she was being herself and having fun. She was doing what delighted her heart. We say, how could that delight her heart to pick up sticks? Because that delighted her heart. You are so normal and so unsophisticated, the thing that delights you is when you pick up your cat and you hold him in your arms, you know? And you pick up a cat and hold him, that anybody can do. But when you pick up sticks and bring them in and hold them in your heart and have that be a blessing, not that that's how you have to do it, but what you want to do, I suggest for your master program this morning that you start out with this. Be yourself and have fun. You start out with the idea, all is in divine order now. And really mean, all is in divine order now. And see all in divine order now. Look about you and don't see the dust, but see the cleanliness. Don't see the windows and mirrors that need washing, but see them as clean. Look through them, not at them. They're there to be looked through, not at. Look at the fireplace, see it in order. Look at everything and see it in divine order. And then that's what being yourself and having fun is all about.